Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, and you guys know we've been moving through that chapter. Today we begin chapter 7, and the title of the message is Start Loving. Right now, start getting that. Did you hear that? Start loving. We spent 4 weeks on verses 1 through 6 in getting an understanding of wrongful judgment and right discernment. And that was a whole series of messages that were titled Stop Criticizing. So we went through that. If you need to catch up on that, by all means go back there and kind of, because there's a lot to that for the believer. How do we know who a dog is and who a pig is? And how do we know when to take the log out of our own eye? And how do we know when to help a brother or a sister take it out of her eye? And so there's a lot to that. We moved through that fairly slowly, but today I want to bring you one message on the next whole section of verses, 7 through 12. And it is ultimately, I believe, about loving other people sacrificially, the way that you want to be loved. And I need you to know, understand right up front, it's not the kind of love that would say on the negative side of love, well, I don't do this to them, so therefore I love them. No. This is addressing what would be the active side of love, where we don't get to say as Christians what we don't do to people and say that therefore that's our expression of love towards them. But rather it is what we do towards them, that even if it comes at a price on our end, we still love them. So this is it's kind of one of those messages that I think a lot of people might know about it, but we are in a day in which it needs to be reapplied. It needs to be lived out again. Believers, Christians, really understanding that our mandate, please understand this, our entire Christian life really is summed up in loving God, who is our Father, a relationship with our Father, and loving other people. The entire Christian life is right there. Loving God and loving, actively loving other people. Let me read this, and then I want to give you my outline of it so you can understand it. It'll unlock in front of you as I walk us through it. And then I want to take you to other passages so you can see it too. And then hopefully it'll all make sense for us at the end. But this whole section of chapter 7 is about human relationships, verses 1 through 12. It is all about the righteousness that we have in Christ internally, and it is about the relationships that then we have with everyone else. This is a mind-blowing passage of Scripture when it comes to the mind of Christ, how as the Lord, as the Savior, how He was able to so comprehensively address all of our relationships that we would ever have right here in just with a few statements. But it is so comprehensive, it applies to everything. Let me just read, beginning in verse 7. Start loving. Let's read together. Ask and it will be given to you. You've heard that before, haven't you? Seek and you'll find. Knock. Everybody knows these verses, right? And it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be what? It'll be opened. Or which one of you, if his son comes to him and asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So, whatever you wish that others would do to you. Are we in church today? Verse 12 is the key verse of the whole section of the whole message that I'm sharing with you today. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is a summary of, encapsulates all of it in a nutshell, in a way, the law and the prophets. All ethical teaching that the Ten Commandments would give, that the prophets would unpack further, all ethical type teachings in the Old Testament can be summed up right here, just in that one verse, is what Jesus is saying. It really is a Mount Everest, if you will, of ethics. But I want to go back now in verse 7 and talk for a moment about verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now, this message for me has been very challenging to get my thoughts in order, because I'm just like you. Remember last week, the last series of messages, we were talking about not judging from a place of personal preferences or religious tradition. Well, I have that when I read the Bible. Do you? You do. I read verse 7 and 8, and I think about prayer. Because in the past in my life, how much have I heard preaching, teaching? How much have I read the Sermon on the Mount in my life? And every time I get to verse 7 and 8, I think that is about what? Prayer. I mean, look at it, right? Ask, seek, knock. It just is like, that is prayer. And so, church family, I love you. The Bible actually uses the word beloved. Like, we are, you are the beloved. We are the church together here. Prayer would be a part of this for sure. But the context of what Jesus is saying here is when you, I hope I can get this out right today, when you have people that fall within the framework of what we studied previously in verses 1 through 6, people who have the log in their eye, people who are hypocrites, people who trample the word of God, people who are apostates today, false teachers, and all of that we spent time studying in the last 4 weeks leading up to today. Then you might get to verse 7 and think, did the Lord just change subjects? Did he just put a period on, do not give dogs what is holy in verse 6, don't throw your pearls before pigs, that gospel wisdom, all of that, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you? Is he just leaving now one subject matter and starting another? I don't believe so. I believe he's just a masterful teacher. And what he's doing is saying, ask. Yes, ask. But ask me for the ability to love people sacrificially and selflessly. I have a statement that I wrote down. I'm going to share it with you this morning. It says this: in God's word, God will give us enough truth for us to be responsible, but enough mystery for us to be dependent. That's a very key statement for what I'm trying to say to you right now. That when you're dealing with people and judging and all of that we studied previously, and then the Lord starts that statement in verse 7, you're realizing something immediately. He doesn't just want me. Today I almost brought in my golf bag in my garage, I have a little like cheat book, like a little pocketbook for when you're out on the fairway. You know, you can flip it to different pages and it'll give you the remembrance of the kind of shot you should play here when you got the tree right there and then how to hold the club and then where to put the ball in your stance. And so it's a playbook. It's very instructional. It's very like that. Well, that is not what God has given us here. So sometimes we want that. You know what I'm saying? When we deal with certain people and certain situations, we're like, Lord, just give me the playbook. You know, just give me the formula. Just give me the steps. Just tell me. Would you just tell me? Tell me. Like, tell me. Where is it? Tell me. You know? And what the Lord is saying here is, I care more about your heart, and I care more about my kingdom moving in and through you, you coming to me and me depositing within you divine resources so that you might go out in this world and truly walk with me, but love on them. I want you to be with me, ask me, seek me, knock on me, and I'm gonna give you what's necessary in order for you to actually be able to do what I've done for you, and what now you know I'm asking you to do toward other people. So the asking and the seeking and the knocking are, it is very interesting when you do study. Asking is like, you ever been in class and you just ask? Like you just ask. You're just asking. It's kind of like that. You have someone in your life, someone that you know, you don't know how you're going to love this person, whether or not this is the right person to do this, to love this way. And you're like, just show me, where, how do I do this? Where's that at? And the Lord is saying, ask. So you just begin by asking, and it doesn't have anything other than that. You're just asking. The seeking is more like opening up a textbook in front of you, and now you actually start seeking. What does, in our case, God's word say about this? I need to see this in the scriptures. I need to seek it. I need to understand it. And when you see it, the Lord is saying, this verse 7 and 8 is God's promise to us. It is God's promise to us. Verses 7 and 8 are, and they demand that we love other people. Are you serious? Absolutely. Verses 7 and 8 is God's promise to his children to start loving other people. And he's giving us the resources to do it in every situation. It takes us over here into this mystery place. Ask me. I didn't outline it just right how you're going to handle that one. Ask me. This would be the, if you will, the playbook for every situation. Ask me. And then the seeking is the looking and the studying first of the Word of God and seeking to understand the person, the whole situation, all that's involved with it. I want to seek to understand. So seeking has more of like a data gathering perspective to it. You're starting to seek, and so you're seeking all the information that you need in order to obey the demand that Christ, the promise, that he's given us here. Ask, seek, knock, I'll give it to you, all that. Well, you've got to have some time where you're doing it, you're seeking, and then he says, knock. Now that knock, that's different than asking, that's different than seeking. The knocking is effort. That's effort. That's you taking now what you've asked, taking what you've sought in scripture and sought in life, in the situation, and now you're saying, I'm going to start putting some effort towards this thing. I'm going to start actually doing now what I think I know is the way I ought to roll. Amen. And so I'm going to start knocking. And knocking is just effort. It's just, you're just doing it, and you kind of keep doing it, and you kind of keep doing it, and you keep asking, and that's the imperative in the original language as well. You keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, and see, I am sorry, but I am not sorry. If you thought this was about you, asking, seeking, and knocking is not about you getting some blank check from God. We understand that together? I'm going to preach it, but you got to stay connected with me on this, because I understand it's a little challenging for us. It is not like, well, Lord, if I just ask you for this, and I just seek you for this, and I just knock on your door for this, and I mean, won't you? And he's like, brother, my child, that's not what this is here. You're asking me for things about you. Listen. I will make sure that you stay rich, blessed. Ephesians 1, 3, 7, and 8, Ephesians chapter 1. I'll make sure of that. But I'm not giving you all this grace and all these resources that I have for you. I'm giving it to you for them. This is, remember, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We're in the Gospel of Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount is kingdom life. It's what it is to be a citizen in Christ's kingdom. It's his standards for that. It's his principles for that. This is what it is to be a Christian, to be in his kingdom on the earth. Dr. Warren Wiersbe sums up the whole Gospel of Matthew by just saying, well, what is it about? It's about being loyal. Be loyal to the king. We know that Matthew, the whole gospel, is that's his perspective on the life and the ministry of Christ, is that he is the king, he is the Messiah. And we, in a sense, the way we respond to this whole book, that's a great summation, is that we want to be loyal to him. We want to be loyal to him. And he is giving us here, it is like a roadmap, but it's got some mystery built into it so that it works in every situation. So today, you're in relationships with different kinds of people in all of our, you know, different settings that we all are living in, families and work and all of that, parts of the community. We need to, again, capture the teaching of our Lord on this. He wants us to love people. He wants us to love people sacrificially. In other words, if it's that I see that a person that I know in my life has a need, and I have the same need, but I have limited resources to meet both needs, I use my limited resources to meet their need, and I sacrifice my own. That's what that means. This is lost today. And it's what it is to be in the kingdom. Why is it lost? Because we're extremely self-absorbed, extremely self-oriented. But even in a way to defend ourselves. This is good teaching for us because it helps us see things. Like, I was thinking about it. I don't know about you, but driving down Palm Bay Road has become dangerous. Anybody noticed that? I don't know if it's all the New Englanders, if you're here. I don't know what it is. It's been that way for a while. It's not them. It's us. You know. I'll notice when I drive, I'm driving out of fear, you know, that I don't hurt someone or they don't hurt me, or we got to file claims and we get in insurance stuff, and you know, and so I can't say that I'm driving, making sure that I don't do things, and I'm not really doing it from a place of out of that I, you know, necessarily love or whatever, all these people or all this around me. I'm just trying to stay safe. So all I'm trying to say is we navigate life a lot like that. We just try to, you know, self-preserve. Well, I didn't, you know, do this to them. Well, that doesn't hold up in the kingdom. I didn't say that to them or I didn't, you know, hurt them in a certain way. And the Lord is saying, no, it's not that you didn't. It's that I wanted you to do these other things, these acts of love, this active love of selfless and sacrificial love towards them is something that we are to do. Verse 9, or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? This is verses 9 through 11 are God's pattern for his children. God's pattern for his children demands that we love others as we love ourselves. And this is where we see that pattern. What do you mean? Well, just look at it. Which of you, this is the pattern among how it is to be a parent. If his son asks him for bread, like, we're not going to give him a stone, right? Like, that's just, that's God's pattern. We know that just already. Or if he asks for a fish, like, we're not going to give him a stone, we're going to break his teeth. You know, we know we're not going to do things like that. Or if his son asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. That would be harmful. We'll notice in the next verse, verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? A fish was clean as well. A serpent is unclean animals, food that they would eat. So there was also that even the parent knew God's pattern would be against that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do something that would violate his law, his word. So this has always been God's pattern for his children. And then just let us just kind of put a mark on the statement that Jesus makes there, that if you then who are evil, you ever read that and go, whoa, what's he, can't believe he says things like that. That is referring to our own human depravity. Jesus is saying it right there. And it also refers to our own limitations as people. If you then who are evil in your nature and who you are, you know how to follow what is God's pattern in giving good gifts to your children. And then, come on, let's just see this. How much more? How much more will your Father who is in heaven, so you who are evil, in other words, you who are earthy and sinful, and then he who is holy, he who is in heaven, he who is holy, how much more will he give good things to those who ask him? So our Father will give us the good, and I don't want to get too, I want to stay in the lane of the text there, good things. He will give us good things, that whatever those things might be. This is actually a pretty difficult message for me to teach today because of how there's a mystery in it. I can't even be too concrete. It's got mystery built into it. The Lord is saying, how much more will your heavenly Father give you what is good and needed for that situation with that person in order to love them selflessly and sacrificially the way that I want you to and the way that I love you? And so he's saying that has always been, you can tell even in your own life, that's the pattern. You wouldn't do that to your kids. And so he's saying, so that's the same pattern with me, but even grander in what I can give you in order to accomplish what it is to live in this kingdom and to treat people and to love people the way that I want you to. Now, I understand we need something here, and we need it bad, and it is an external dynamic. We need someone outside of ourselves who will come up on the inside of us and give us the power. We need the Holy Spirit of God to do this. Can't do it. Can't try my hardest to do this. I need the Holy Spirit of God. I need to live a Spirit-filled life. I need to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be able to, when these situations come, selflessly and sacrificially love someone. Why? Because that is the first fruit of the Spirit. Love. Some of us are waking up to this reality. Our Christianity has gotten too Americanized. Our doctrine has gotten too influenced by the culture. Folks, we're Christians. Say, what do you mean by that? We live by the Bible. We live by the Word of God, by what the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, His kingdom is one that is, we've noticed this since January. It is contrary to the world. It's an upside down way of doing everything. And we're experiencing that here yet again as we talk about loving other people as we would love ourselves and want ourselves to be loved. So then verse 12 is what I want to call today God's purpose for His children demands it. So this is so much of what I could say would be your purpose in life. You say, really, so much of your purpose would be wrapped up in obeying this principle, this truth. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, I want to show you a few passages of Scripture today I hope will put even more light on this as we're learning together. Start loving, start loving, start loving. I just want to show you Jeremiah 29, verse 13. If you turn there with me, just one verse. But Jeremiah 29, and I just kind of want to mark it in our minds as we're studying this today. He says here, you will seek me and find me, Jeremiah 29, 13. When, I want us to start waking up too to the active side of this. Are you ready? Are you with me right now? Yes. I hope you've been with me so far. I hope I'm doing a good job. It's been clear. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So no more of this passive Christianity. No more passive, active. See, that's intense. Why would you say that? Because we're stuck. We're stuck. We're stuck in thinking that if we're not doing this, then we're good to go. Oh, friend, we are God's kingdom on the earth. If there's anybody that's got a go built into their gut, it's followers of Jesus Christ. We go, 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 and we go, and we go. Do you get it? And we go, and we go, and we go. We never have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and sit in our living room. We go. I'm sorry I'm yelling in this place today. That was loud. I see it, and I'm accountable to God for it. It's in the text. It's everywhere. It's the heart of God. Oh, may the Lord deal with us if we're just passive and neutral and but claiming to be just, you know, Christians and walking with the Lord and have all these things available to us and we're so, you know, da-da-da, but we're not. But there's no active love. We claim we love, but we don't actively, selflessly, sacrificially move ourselves and move what's available to us to actually demonstrate that love and give that love to other people. How are they going to get saved? We cannot look at that cross and say anything about the love of God being passive or neutral. That's active. That's active. That's looking at people who are unlovable. That's looking at people who have rejected you. That's looking at people who are filled with sin and wickedness and by no stretch of the imagination would lean into you and come your way. But he came and into their lives. He came their way. He bridged the gap. He stepped into that hostility and made a way. So this is what it is really to love people. This whole we love one another, but we don't say what's true, that's not love. That's not love. If I love you, I will tell you the truth because I know it's true and I genuinely love you. And so I will tell you the truth about God, the truth about the gospel is what I'm referring to there, like telling the world really the truth because we really do love them, really do want to see them brought into a saving knowledge and a saving relationship with God through Christ. In order for that to happen, the truth has to be proclaimed. The truth has to be lived out. And that's where we come in. All right, that's just Jeremiah. I want to show you that. Look at Luke with me. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke 11, verse 13. This is Luke's account of the same passage we're reading in Matthew 7 about ask and it'll be given. And it's the same event he records as well, but we get a little more insight, and this is why I hope you'll start seeing this with me. Luke 11, verse 13, he says it this way. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? I'm reading in verse 12 now, sorry. Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? And then verse 13, if you then who are evil, so we see that again, if you then who are limited, if you then who are depraved in that state, in that nature, know that's God's pattern. Even though you're evil, even though you're limited, even though that's your nature, yet God's pattern is still evident even in you. In that state, you know, you still know how to give good gifts to your children as a parent. He says, how much more, are you ready? Will your heavenly Father give who? We starting to see it together? He'll give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You ever been in a situation with someone and you know you're supposed to love them as a Christian, but you've cried out and said, Holy Spirit of God, fill me right now. Fill me right now. Give me the ability. Let us not confess that that's most of our marriages, right? Most of our marriages, right? But we immediately, but that's a great thing. I talk about that a lot in marital counseling. The Spirit-filled life, because it's not gratifying the desires of the flesh, the pride, the agenda, always got to have my prerogative, always got to drive my thing in there, and all that. You know what you signed up for as a Christian, and then in marriage, to die to all that. To die to all that. Dead to all that self stuff, and learn to be selfless. Learn to be loving. Learn to lean in and meet needs and serve out of your own tank. That ain't going to work. Serve out of the overflow. Serve out of the overflow. Love the person out of the overflow. Holy Spirit of God, come. Come. Come upon me. Fill me in this situation. I mean, I can't tell you countless times I'm in my car before I go into a meeting. And that's what I'm asking God for. A fresh filling, a fresh outpouring. so that I don't mess it up, so I don't meet someone and miss a need, miss an opportunity to bless, miss an opportunity to step in and do something that God would want done toward that person. We're new covenant ministers. We all are. We're all ministers of the new covenant. We're all in a sense have access to this grace that is so rich, so abundant, filled with so much of what other people need. And that's what God wants. He wants you and I to be stewards of those resources, stewards of those blessings. And they come to us and are in us through the divine flow of the Holy Spirit that's working in you and through you, that even makes you aware of those needs and willing to selflessly, sacrificially minister to those needs. So that's in Luke, we see it there, actually just says it that way very clearly. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, 5 says, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts," again, you'll notice, "through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So there's, I just wanted to draw your attention now to that, what Jesus is talking about back here. I'm trying to show it to you how Paul explains it. A lot of times that's how that works between Jesus and the Gospels. We have four Gospels, and then we have all the New Testament epistles. They're all speaking the same message, but Paul comes to us and helps explain the kingdom truths that Jesus gave, that Jesus laid down, that Jesus brought into the world. We need Paul to help kind of explain them and unpack them here. And this is one of those times when we need him to do that, and he does that. "And hope does not put us to shame. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Spirit who has been given to us." So I just wanted you to see that even from a doctrinal standpoint in the book of Romans, but practically too in your life, it comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 13, not a chapter for weddings. 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter of really what it is of Christian love, what it is to be a Christian, the way of love. 1 Corinthians 13, I want to draw your attention to verses 4 through 7. Love is what? Now, you know of any Christians in our community that are professing to know Christ and are patient or impatient? Love is patient. Oh, may we start being long-suffering and patient towards other people. How is anything going to change if us as followers of Jesus don't allow the truths of Scripture to change us first and then minister outward to other people, pointing them ultimately to Jesus Christ? This world needs to see that there is another kingdom among them, and it is Christ's kingdom. Love is patient. Love is kind. Can't do this without the Holy Spirit, though. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. I mean, we need an altar call. You know what I mean? Like the church. It does not insist on its own way. Love doesn't do that. Not Christ's love. Not love that has been shed abroad in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. This is a very free person. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Rejoicing over people's sins or faults. Love doesn't do that. Genuine love, Christ's love at work in the life of the believer and the church doesn't do that. But look, but love does rejoice with the truth. Oh, I love truth. Don't you love truth? I'll rejoice with the truth. Love when the truth comes out. Love when the truth is known. Right? We're Christians. We love the truth, man. Truth, truth, truth. Love, verse 7 says, bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. What I would like to bring up here is that the focus is on the emptiness that is produced when love is absent from ministry. There's an emptiness to it when it doesn't have any ministry associated to it, when there's no action with it. Just in these verses 4 through 7, we really get a good picture of what is the fullness of the love that is to be in the life of the Christian. On the positive side, it's patient with people, it's gracious to them, it's generous. And then on the negative side of love, we see in these verses, it never envies, it never brags, it's never arrogant, never rude, never overbearing. Love never wants its own way. We see all that there. All right, let's move along. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and verses 7 and 8 we're going to look at. But right now, just if you would, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed. So let us just even make sure our heart is even postured in the right response to that word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is saying, God, we praise you. We commend you. Bless you. Blessed be. Do we just see it how it's that's how it is? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's incredible. In other words, we have the resources that are needed, the privilege that is needed in order for us to do it, the power to do it. We're already in the right position to be able to do it because of what has been now deposited into us by being saved and by the work of the Spirit. And then verse 7 and 8, just notice, says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And I just want you to see this again. According to the riches of his what? Grace. The riches of his grace. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in again. Grace, gifts, the empowerment, just the ability of God's supernatural abundant blessings to be available to you in every situation, to enrich every environment with his blessing, to bring that into any relational situation that you become aware of where there's need, physical need, spiritual need, that you would be the person that says, the love of God is moving in my heart in such a way that I am moved to step in to those physical and spiritual needs, even if I don't have it, it's whatever I can give, whatever I do have, whatever resources I do have available to me right now, I will sacrifice even of my own to meet this other person's needs. And I know that this is foreign talk in our land right now. And this is why we need God's truth yet again to just be proclaimed and lived out. And listen, the word that's been on my heart, and I don't mean to be burdensome, I actually want to do a good job as a pastor. It's the word obey. It all boils down to obedience. It really does. Just in all those various relational situations that we get in, whether or not we will just, you know, we're hearing it today, we know it. Remember last week we studied James 2. We, like in a mirror, we see the word of God, and it communicates to us where we're at. We see ourselves, reflection of ourselves in the scriptures, and now will I go and do simply what I know now to be true and what he wants me to do. And so it's very simple as far as that's all it is. It's obedience. It's not that difficult. But going to do it, sure, sometimes it might be a little bit of a stretch, right? Selfless, sacrificial, all of that. But you know, I know that if we were one-on-one and we were talking about this for a minute, I'm pretty sure we would agree that there's a power there. There's a healing there, even in your own life. There's a blessing there, even in your own life. That when you selflessly, sacrificially ask God, seek God, knock all his resources that are available to you, and you seek to mobilize all of that towards someone else's need, that it blesses you to do it. And it becomes something that you're like, oh my goodness, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here. And now verse 12 becomes my purpose, to love others the way that I want them to love me. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, just one or two more, says, therefore, this is Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, Be imitators of God. So this is our calling. This is our purpose. It is to imitate our Lord. Be imitators of God as beloved children. So just ponder that, if you will, this week. And then seek to do it. To be imitators of the Lord. That's our calling. He's our example. And how? What does Paul say on a little bit, understanding that more? He says, and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Lord, I just pray I'm doing a good job on this. I pray your people will see this. In the same way that he, notice how it says that, loved us and what? Gave himself what? I know I'm up against a mountain here. Gave himself up for us. That's what he's saying to us. To be in my kingdom is to give up. Give up. Bo, I don't like your church. I like prosperity doctrine talk. Tell me what I get. And I'm telling you, you give up. You give away. You surrender all. You put your life on the line. Everything you've got, everything he's ever given you, every bit of his life that's at work in you is meant to pump through you out into this world. I'm a vessel. You're a vessel. You're not a catcher. Just catching it all. And just seal it up and be like, "Woo, look at that. I'm blessed." No, you're selfish. No, you hoard God's divine resources. No, he wants it moving. He wants his gospel power moving. He wants his love and his grace moving. He wants his spirit moving. Oh, he loves you. Oh, he's committed to you. He's committed to you. He'll make sure you're taken care of through all of it. He will. He will make sure. You will only look back and go, "He's nothing but faithful." You'll look, "He's nothing but faithful. You want me to do this again? Oh my goodness." You know, you'll get to the point where you'll go, "I get it now. Here, take it. Here, you can have it. Here," because the track record shows he's nothing but faithful. Amen. So until you learn this, you'll live more of a shriveled up kind of life with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit and the blessings that are to be experienced in this life. Until you learn this whole thing of selfless, sacrificial, blessed to be a blessing, allowing, this is what it is to be in the kingdom of Christ, but here on the earth right now, allowing his work to work in us and through us. Last verse, and then we'll pray this morning. James 2, verse 8. James 2, verse 8. I learned a lot this week just seeing the two words in this verse where I had never really spent time understanding this fully, and I will admit I still have some work to do. But I'd like you to see James 2, verse 8. If you really fulfill, I want you to see these next two words, the royal law. What? If you really fulfill what James refers to here as the royal law, and that royal law is what Jesus said in Matthew 7:12. He mentions it a lot, actually, in his ministry. Loving God, ultimately, and loving other people. This is that royal law. This is another way to understand it, actually more accurately of a translation, would be a sovereign law. This is big time stuff here as far as God is concerned and how all this is supposed to work on the earth. And so James just says it clearly, if you really fulfill the royal law or the sovereign law according to the scriptures, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is it. This is what matters most. And if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, do you see it? You will receive, enjoy, have for yourself. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is just anyone that's in your sphere of influence, too. That's just what that means. Anybody who is just in my sphere of influence. There is a part in this that I have failed to mention to you from the beginning, and it is in Matthew 7, verse 8, where it says, "For everyone who asks," we need to keep in context, Jesus was talking to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. So I want to be sure to mention that to us today. He is talking to Christians, to believers, when he's saying this. So it's the asking, seeking, the knocking for everyone, for all of my followers, all of my children who asks, they receive, and they seek, and they find. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Lord Jesus, as we've just taken these moments this morning to look at this section of Scripture of your just incredible Sermon on the Mount, prayerfully, I hope that everyone that's here this morning has been built up, not in any way torn down, for that would not be pleasing to you, and that was not the goal. The goal is for us to understand more and more of the standards of your kingdom, the principles of your kingdom, and that our lives might truly match up with that, line up with that, and that your Holy Spirit would be given free rein in our lives to be the resource, to be the divine enablement that he is, in order for us to accomplish effectively what you've given us to accomplish. Lord, when we read that love passage, we realize how much we need the Holy Spirit at work in us. And so I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill your people, to come upon your people in power, to give them the necessary dynamic to obey and to carry out and to live a fruitful life in this area, truly, selflessly, and sacrificially. Start loving again. Oh, Lord, we've got the stop criticizing thing down, but now, Lord, today, may we start loving. I pray for people in our church today who maybe would say, man, that's going to be really hard for me. I just pray for them right now, and I ask that the Holy Spirit would come upon them so abundantly, so supernaturally, that they won't be able to help but to love, selflessly and sacrificially, their neighbor, starting at home, starting with our spouses, starting with our kids, and then reaching out to a world that you are looking at going, when, church, come and reach this world. Come and reach this world with the love that I have so infused into you. You understand things they don't understand. You have wisdom they don't have. You have insight they don't have. Now's the time to start loving again. Go across the street. Email the coworker and set up a lunch and reach out to people in the community that otherwise, you know, if you're honest, they'd probably never know the love of Christ if we didn't step out and truly love them selflessly, sacrificially. And God, I just thank you and praise you for those here that do get this and that have been already living this out in their lives and experienced its blessings. May we learn from one another. May we go from this place and be stronger as a church in fulfilling your great commission and reaching this community for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, this is your day, this is your hour. I want to give you a chance right now to believe on him, to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins, to receive the free gift of heaven, to have all the guilt taken away and the bondage, the weight, the judgment that you're feeling the conviction over. All of that can change today if you'd simply say, yes, I want to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. If that's you today, I want to give you a moment right now in the service to raise your hand and say, I want to believe in Christ. I want to follow Christ. I want to live for him. No holding back. Take my whole life. I keep holding the reins. I keep thinking I got it. I'm in the dark. I think I know everything. I'm realizing now I don't know the condition of my eternal state. I don't know the condition truly of my own soul apart from him. I'm worried about that, and I want to be saved today. Don't leave this place today unsure of your relationship to Christ. That would be horrible. But may everyone leave here today knowing for sure that their relationship with Jesus Christ is genuine, authentic, dynamic. You've been born again of the Spirit. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. Amen. Anyone else this morning? Amen. Desire to just trust Christ, be saved. If you raised your hand this morning, I just want to lead you in a short prayer, try to help you express what is in your heart. You can just say, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your peace. I'm sorry for my sin. My life belongs to you. Take it. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give those a hand that prayed that prayer this morning? Amen. Amen. And don't forget, today is the day to be baptized. Amen. Come on, that's exciting. And so right after service today, let's just head out there on the patio. And I'm going to go change real quick. I got some sandals and some board shorts. Going to change them. And jump in the tank. And but if you want to be baptized today, you'll see the table out there. There's a card that looks just like this. Just fill it out, and that'll help us get to know you a little bit more. It's got a little spot where you just share your testimony, and we just want to share that with everybody that'll be out there. And then we look forward to celebrating out there today. Amen. And we'll have some lunch together, fellowship, stay as long as you'd like. Let's just enjoy some time after church today. Amen. Let's stand together. Would you lift your hands this morning if you're comfortable with it? Father, I just pray that you bless your people just supernaturally this week, that they would have everything they need this week for life and for godliness in you. Lord, make us a generous people this week as we go. May your love and may your resources just work powerfully in us and through us to reach a world that is in desperate need of you. We surrender to you. We just ask that you would use us that way. But God, I'm praying right now at the end of this service that everyone here will be blessed going in and blessed going out this week, that they would walk in the Spirit, that your face, your presence, your power would shine upon them, would give them peace. Every situation they'd be in this week, may they walk and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.